Hello, Poker Minders! Welcome to the PokerPod Psych Edition, where I'm going to talk about everything psychology, from the complexities of human behavior to practical tips for your mental well-being. I'm your host Katja, a licensed clinical psychologist, and today I'm going to poke some minds. Hello, Pokerminders. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been quite a while since the last episode. The entire team at Pokermind has been working incredibly hard to launch our new platform. I would like to encourage everyone to try it out a couple of times and hopefully be able to integrate it in your everyday life to help you organize your thoughts and feelings and get a chance to talk or maybe even rant about all the things you might not want to or might not be able to share with anyone else. In today's episode, I'd like to talk about a more or less everyday life situation that affects us all. You might or might not have heard about the term psychological safety, a vital concept that can make or break team dynamics and organizational success. Let's start by defining psychological safety. Psychological safety is the belief that one can express themselves without fear or negative consequences to self-image, status, or career. It's the foundation for open-minded communication, trust, and collaboration within teams. When employees feel psychologically safe, they're more likely to take risks, offer new ideas, and admit mistakes, key behaviors that drive innovation, growth, and safety. A prominent example I can name is Boeing. Some of you might have heard of the issues that Boeing had with their planes. According to John Oliver from Last Week Tonight, among other things, employees didn't dare to point out safety issues due to fear of repercussions, leading to bigger and dangerous problems down the road. The term psychological safety was first introduced in 1999 by American organizational psychologist Amy Edmondson. So what kind of impact does psychological safety have on us and our environment? Research shows that teams with high levels of psychological safety perform better, innovate more, and experience higher job satisfaction. When people feel safe, they are more engaged and motivated, leading to better overall performance. Now, this might sound blatantly obvious to you, and you might wonder, do we really need research to confirm this? And that's a valid point. But the reality is that creating such an environment is incredibly challenging. It requires a concerted effort from every single team member and, of course, the entire organization as a whole. Achieving psychological safety demands a lot. Trust, open communication, and the willingness to embrace vulnerability. It's not something that happens overnight. However, the substantial evidence supporting its benefits make it a goal worth pursuing. Hopefully, this will inspire more teams and organizations to invest in building psychologically safe environments. There are different guides that are used in organizations, and they include, among others, Crucial Conversations by Patterson, Granny, McMillan, and Switzler. That guide focuses on navigating high-stakes conversations effectively. Another guide, which focuses on empathetic communication and resolving conflicts, is called Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. There are The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And that one focuses on common pitfalls that teams face and strategies to overcome them. There's a guide called Emotional Intelligence Framework by Daniel Goleman, which focuses on effective communication as a part of psychological safety. And last but not least, there is the guide called Team Psychological Safety by Amy Edmondson, which emphasizes creating a safe environment for teams. Since I am first and foremost a clinical psychologist, I'd like to use parts of CBT and DBT to reflect upon psychological safety and focus on the individual perspective rather than the entire group. So, before I talk about key elements of psychological safety, I would like to ask you to reflect about those key elements and try to put them into context with your own cognitive distortions that you might find yourself in from time to time. Maybe you'll find a correlation. If you're unsure what cognitive distortions are or don't remember all of them, I'd like to recommend you to either listen to the PokerPod episode about your work stress or check out the blog on our website pokermind.com that our lovely Maria is taking care of. That being said, what are the key elements of psychological safety? They consist of open communication, which means that in psychologically safe environments, everyone feels comfortable speaking up, asking questions, and sharing their thoughts without fear of judgment or criticism. Trust. Psychological safety is built on trust. Team members need to trust their colleagues will listen without judgment and seriously consider their ideas. Risk-taking. Safe environments encourage calculated risks and experimentation, fostering creativity and innovation. Conflict resolution. Healthy conflict resolution is possible when team members engage in constructive debates without personal attacks. Learning and growth. Admitting mistakes and seeking feedback is crucial. This openness promotes continuous learning and improvement. And last but not least, the leadership role. Leaders set the tone by demonstrating vulnerability, actively listening, and encouraging open communication. Another important aspect to consider is the cultural context. Psychological safety can vary across cultures and genders. What feels safe in one culture might not in another. Organizations need to understand these nuances to effectively foster a safe environment. So, what are the risk factors that jeopardize psychological safety? Several factors can undermine psychological safety. Fear of retribution. The fear of negative consequences stifles open communication. Coming back to my example about Boeing. Lack of trust. Without trust, individuals hesitate to be vulnerable. Hierarchical structures. Power dynamics can discourage lower-ranking employees from speaking up. Micromanagement. Excessive control undermines autonomy and competence. Unclear expectations. Unclear or changing expectations cause anxiety and hinder open communication. Lack of diversity and inclusion. A lack of inclusivity can marginalize individuals, undermining their safety. Negative feedback culture. Focusing on criticism rather than constructive feedback creates fear and defensiveness. High stress environment. Chronic stress impairs cognitive function and open communication. Rumors and gossip. These breed mistrust and make employees feel unsafe. And the last risk factor is lack of accountability. Without accountability, trust erodes, decreasing psychological safety. So I'm coming back now to my question from before. And I would like for you to reflect on how you define psychological safety in your cultural context and how some of your individual cognitive distortions might be triggered by your environment. Especially if you're someone in a leading position, how might cognitive distortions increase risk factors such as micromanagement or fear of retribution? So how can one enhance psychological safety? Addressing these risk factors requires effort from both leadership and team members. Key strategies include promoting transparency and regular feedback, encouraging diverse perspectives, creating a learning environment where mistakes are opportunities for growth. And it's important that leaders set the example by being vulnerable, listen actively, and foster an open communication culture. I can understand that these bullet points sound rather superficial, so to be more concrete of what that could mean in your daily work life, I'd like to use some of the DBT skills within mindfulness and interpersonal effectiveness as an example. Start to recognize and accept cognitive distortions, such as black and white thinking or jumping to conclusions, maybe emotional reasoning, personalization, confirmation bias, or unrealistic expectations. This is often already a very demanding task. It requires us to be mindful about ourselves and our surroundings. To apply mindfulness skills in an organizational context, not necessarily through meditation, but by describing reality as it is, describing our feelings, and being able to tap into our wise mind and act accordingly. We have to be able to give and receive feedback without judgment. Using interpersonal effectiveness skills, such as Dear Man, may provide a concrete guide on how to communicate differently and more effectively. Dear Man is an acronym and stands for D for describe. An example at work could be when you assign tasks to me without any notice. E for express. I feel overwhelmed and unprepared. A for assert. I need at least a day's notice for new tasks. R for reinforce. This will help me manage my workload and complete tasks efficiently. M stands for mindful. Stay focused on the need for notice. Don't digress to other topics that you might want to talk about later on. A stands for appear confident. Maintain eye contact and speak clearly. Don't beat around the bush. And the N stands for negotiate. For example, if a day's notice is not possible, could you let me know at least a few hours in advance? Those are skills that take time to practice, and they will feel unusual and maybe also uncomfortable in the beginning. But in the long run, they will help you navigate your challenges at work and your life outside of work better, fostering your mental health. For today, I'd like to leave it at that. Remember, a safe work environment is not just a nice-to-have, but an important component of a successful, innovative, and healthy workplace. If you have questions or would like to suggest topics, you're always welcome to write to team@pokermind.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope I poked some minds today. See ya!